The following is a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
Well, take your Bibles, please, and open to the book of Jude. One of my favorite parts of my time in the Air Force was survival training. And between my freshman and sophomore year at the Air Force Academy, we were required to go through 3 weeks of survival training to learn how to deal with a hostile environment in case, for some reason, we happened to be in an aircraft and were shot down or crashed in a place where we needed to survive. And so for 3 weeks, we went through training on how to endure the various threats that we could encounter in an environment like that. Went through SERE, S-E-R-E, Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. And I remember during the survival portion of this training that we were taught how to live off the land, and we were taught how to build shelters, and we were taught how to do camouflage techniques and emergency first aid and how to trap for our food. And I remember getting a rabbit, and all of us in our group got that rabbit and killed it and skinned it and sucked the eyeballs out and ate them, and they taste like salt, in case you're wondering, and ate what's inside the intestines and roasted it and ate everything possible because we were so hungry. This was survival training. During the evasion portion of the training, we were taught how to evade capture and travel at night and try and avoid those aggressors that were out somewhere in the Rocky Mountains where we were trying to find us in this advanced game of hide and seek. And we were trying to evade these people trying to find us. I remember during the resistance portion of the training that we were placed in a POW camp and we were forced to go through mock torture and mock interrogations as we were learning techniques on how to resist this from actual experiences from prisoners of war during Vietnam. And part of the techniques were sleep deprivation. And I remember still sitting in my cell, and this is about 54 hours into this training, and I'm sleep deprived, and I start hallucinating, and I am certain that in the corner of that cell, there's a frog talking to me. And I think what's more crazy is I think I answered it, and I think I spoke to it, and I think I saw it smoking a cigar as well. I just remember that distinctly. It was very strange, very odd. Your mind does very odd things when you're sleep deprived. And then during the escape portion, we were taught how to escape from that kind of environment. You see, the military wanted to give us tools necessary to survive in a hostile environment. We needed to learn and have the tools in our tool belt for surviving in a hostile place. And we needed a manual. We needed tools. We needed training. We needed education on how to survive in an environment like that. That's what the book of Jude is. Jude is a survival manual. And Jude is a book, a training manual for us to be able to endure the hardships and the difficulties of life in a fallen world where there are specific people who deny the truth and falsify the truth. We live in sobering times. And we can see that all around us. There is apostasy in the church. There is false teaching in the church. And there are many who reject the truth and fall away from the truth. And there's rampant falsehood and denial of the truth within the body of Christ. And so Jude's instructions 2,000 years ago are as relevant today as the day they were first written. There are spiritual dangers surrounding us. We need to know how to survive in an age of apostasy. And so Jude wants us to be aware of these dangers, and he wants us to know and be able to recognize the apostates around us. We've said that apostates are those who do exactly that. They deny the truth. They reject the truth. They have known the truth before. Perhaps they have even taught the truth of God before, but now they deny it. They reject it. They are those who subvert the truth. They are those who are actually traitors to the truth. They are secretly enemies of the truth. And so Jude has written this little postcard epistle to help us recognize them, to be able to spot them. And you remember we said it up in verse 4. Remember what Jude said in verse 4? He said, "These people, these certain persons have crept in unnoticed And God has marked them out for condemnation. These ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. That's what these people are like. Verse 8, he tells us that they are those who defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. This is their character. This is their conduct. This is what they do. And because of that, Jude wants us to know the condemnation that awaits them. In verse 4, he says that these people are marked out for this condemnation. God has specifically prepared condemnation for them for their rejection of the truth. He continues to speak about such rejection. Look down in verse 15. Jude says that he is going to execute judgment upon all and convict all of the ungodly of their ungodly deeds. And so not only are they those who conduct themselves in this way, they are also those who are under condemnation because of their rejection of God's truth. So Jude wants us to be able to recognize them. He wants us to be able to spot them. He wants us to know their doom and their destiny. But he also knows that we need some practical stuff. He knows that we need a strategy. He knows that we need a plan of attack and some tools and some survival training on how to resist apostasy as we encounter it. And maybe you've been with us through the study of Jude and you're thinking, all right, Todd, I've heard what you said and I understand what apostasy is, but it's not really relevant to me. I don't know any. I don't know any in our church. I'm not sure what this means for me. Well, Jude's going to get very practical. And he's going to put you through this morning survival training in an age of apostasy so you are able and I are able to develop the discernment that we need to resist and stand firm in times like this. I think the one thing that we need during times like this is discernment. God wants you to be discerning. God wants me to be discerning. He wants us as a church to be discerning people, to be able to distinguish between truth and error, to be able to judge between what's false and what's true. Because we live in days where the church generally is lacking a proper understanding of God's word. There's a superficial understanding of the truth today in the body of Christ. There's not a deep love for the sound doctrine that promotes holy living today. There's a wrong view of God. There's a failure to properly interpret Scripture. And this is what we're up against. And so we need to be discerning, and you need to have some tools in your tool belt and some survival training to help you be able to be discerning. Jude is going to give us those tools this morning, starting in verse 17. I want you to follow along as I read Jude, starting in verse 17. He says, "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, 'In the last time there shall be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts.' These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them from the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." Here Jude kind of turns the corner. And all the way up to this point in the book of Jude, he has been speaking very strongly against apostates. He has exposed them. He has denounced them. He has pronounced condemnation upon them for their rejection of the truth. But now in verse 17, notice how it starts. But he's turning the corner and he's being the faithful shepherd. He's being the loving pastor, and he speaks now to the church. He speaks to his dear saints, and he calls them my beloved. He says, dear saints. You see what he's doing? In light of all this truth about apostates and their character and their conduct and their condemnation, here Jude, the half-brother of Christ, now turns to the spiritual welfare of the people in the church. And he says, here's how you need to respond. Here are the tools you need to have if you're going to survive in an age of apostasy. And as your teaching elder, I want to do the same thing. As your teaching pastor, I want to be a good shepherd to you. I want to be a faithful pastor to you because you are loved. and we don't want you to suffer in your spiritual welfare. And so because of that, we're going to give you this morning some tools to help you survive in an age of apostasy. Three of them. Three instructions for surviving in this age. First, number one is to recall God's word. Okay, we're going to look at the first one. To recall God's word. Jude's first instruction for us is to remember that God's word specifically spoke and told us that this would happen. We shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be shocked. God himself has told us ahead of time that these apostates would come. And he says, I want you to remember. Don't forget. Go back to God's word. Go back to the preaching of the apostles. Go back to Christ and listen and remember the instructions that they gave thousands of years ago, because they're still true. They're still accurate. And they're applicable to today. Perhaps some of you here this morning have someone in your life that you know and who was once a great spiritual impact in your life. That you had someone in your life, maybe the person who led you to the Lord, or maybe someone who has instructed you in the Word of God, maybe someone who you looked up to at one point in your life as a kind of a spiritual giant, and you've admired them and you've respected them and you've appreciated their input in your life, and something happened where they abandoned Christ. Where they denied the faith now. They've walked away, they've defected, they are themselves now not the people who once loved the truth, but now they are those who don't believe it anymore. And maybe you're scratching your head and you're saying, what happened? How can this be? I respected them and I looked up to them and they were those who were so faithful to God and they stood for the truth. And now look at them. What happened? You're shocked and surprised. And Jude says to you, listen, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked at this. You got to go back to God's word. And you've got to remember that this was predicted. And this was said it would happen and it would take place. And he says here in verse 17, you need to remember God's word. Remember what was spoken by the apostles. The word spoken is in a tense such that it says it was spoken long time ago. And the words are still relevant today. So these truths, these words that were spoken by Christ and the apostles 2,000 years ago are still accurate. They're still pertinent to our situation today. You remember that Christ was really the first one to warn us about apostates. Well, the first one in the New Testament. There were Old Testament prophets who warned of this. Christ in Matthew 7, verse 15, he says, you need to beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing but are inwardly ravenous wolves. That's what Christ said. And then the apostles picked up that same mantle and that same message, and they preached and taught the same truths about these apostates. Paul and Peter and John and the other apostles, they simply expressed the same truth that Christ taught. These apostates will come. Look what he says in verse 18. Jude says that they were saying to you in this last time, there will be mockers following after their own lusts. He says in this last time, in the last days. And by the way, you understand that we are in the last days today. He's not talking about just some future event, some end times event, the future tribulation and second coming. That's not what he's referring to here. He's actually talking about the last times which we are currently living in. And the last times started at the coming of Christ, the first time. And they will continue to the second coming of Christ. That and everything in between are the last times. We've been in the last times now for 2,000 years. We don't know how much longer it will last. We don't know how long these last times will linger. But we are currently in the last times. And Jude's point here is that in these last times, there are going to be mockers, scorners. There are going to be people who scoff at the truth. They're going to make a mockery of what's holy and what's true and what's reliable. And they're going to attack the word of God. And they're going to call out the things that they don't believe to be true of God and Christ and the gospel. And his point is, don't be surprised. remember, God said this would happen. And in fact, you're going to be able to recognize them because of their ungodly lust. Look at verse 18. He says that they were spoken of, that there'll be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These people will be recognized because their life will be one big, giant desire to satisfy self. This is how you'll recognize them. You will know them because their passions, their longings, their lusts are going to drive them. They're going to be greedy. They're going to be living out their fleshly desires. And this is how you can spot them. Oftentimes we hear of those in the church, leaders in the church, who commit adultery, are engaged in infidelity, who are stealing from the church, who are caught in pornography. And sometimes we're shocked by this and we're surprised by this. How can this happen? These are church leaders. And Jude's point is, don't be surprised. This is just normal. This is predicted. This is said it would happen, and it shouldn't shock us. Do you know people like this? Are you aware of apostates? Are you aware of people in your own life who have maybe defected from the faith? Jude says, you've got to go back to God's word. You've got to go back and you've got to listen to the apostles. You've got to listen to the truths that were spoken by these men long time ago, because they predicted this. They said this would happen. They said it would be a clear aspect of the church age, and you shouldn't be shocked by this. Paul warned about this in Acts chapter 20. He said to the Ephesian elders, you need to be on guard for the flock. Because there are going to be people who will come and try and draw away the disciples after them. And Peter, you remember what Peter said? He said in 2 Peter chapter 3, he said, in the last days, mockers will come following after their own lust. Peter said this. And John said this in 1 John 2 verse 18. He said, you've heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have appeared. And so, these are statements by the apostles who have spoken very clearly that this would take place. And we shouldn't be shocked. Look at verse 19. Look what he says. He says, these are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded and devoid of the Spirit. He says, this is how you're going to recognize them as well. They're going to be those who are divisive. They're going to come in your midst and they're going to cause factions and they're going to splinter your church and they're going to create these different groups and they're going to be divisive within your body. It's because they're worldly minded. They're not heavenly minded. They're not thinking about eternal things. They're only thinking about what's here and now and themselves and their passions and their pleasures and their lusts. And the reason this is true, because the end of verse 19 says they're devoid of the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have Christ living in them. And if you're here this morning and you know the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, you've been regenerated. You've been renewed. You've given a new heart and a new life. But not apostates. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So Jude's point is, listen, you've got to not be surprised by this. As you go through life and you encounter these people within the body of Christ and people that you know, you can't be shocked. You can't be surprised when people abandon the faith and reject Christ and His truth. Here's why. Because if you forget that, you're going to think God's not in control. You're going to doubt God's sovereign control over His church and over His bride. And you're going to begin to think that God has been taken off guard by this. And He's been surprised by this widespread apostasy. And you can't be shocked by that. And God's not shocked by that. God is not in heaven wringing His hands saying, how did this take place? This wasn't part of the plan. No, God expected this. He's sovereign over His church. He's sovereign over those who cause apostasy. But He wants us to remember, not be shocked by it. Are you remembering God's word? As you encounter these people, as you're confronted with them, do you go back and you say, yeah, God said this. I know that, and I should expect it. There's a second tool you need to have in your survival kit. And it's you need to remain in God's love. This is the second one, and this is so good. This is where Jude now begins to get very specific, and he begins to kind of address us at our very level that we need to hear these truths. And he wants us to remain in God's love. Look at verses 20 and 21. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." I want you to notice that statement in verse 21 where he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's a command. That's a very clear statement to you and to me that we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. That's the main instruction here. And you're going to see some other instructions that kind of come alongside this and help us understand what he's saying here. The main verb is build yourselves up in the most holy faith. And there's other statements here. The main instruction is to keep yourselves in the love of God. And the other ones around it help us understand how to do that. So we build ourselves up in the faith, we wait anxiously for the return of Christ, and we pray in the Holy Spirit. Those are the statements that help us know how to keep ourselves in the love of God. So I want to talk about this. This is very crucial for us to understand that we need to be those who keep ourselves in the love of God. What does that mean? This is his way of saying you've got to stay close to Christ. You've got to stay close to where you know the blessings of God are, where you know the mercy of God is, where you can experience safety and protection. You've got to stay close to that. That's what he's getting at here in verse 21 when he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. He's saying you've got to stay where it's safe. You've got to keep yourself very close to God. You've got to keep yourself close to his word. You've got to stay so close where you know you're protected, where you know you're kept safe. Are you there this morning? Are you close to Christ? Are you close to God? Are you close to the sphere of protection that God offers in his love? Are you there? There's that old hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." It says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." That's us, isn't it? And Jude knows that there's a tendency in our hearts to wander from Christ. There's a tendency in our hearts to kind of drift away and to kind of go away from where it's safe. And Jude says, you've got to make sure that you place yourself in the mercy and the grace and the love and the protection and the safety of God's love. That's how you stay sane. That's how you stay firm. That's how you resist the times of apostasy in which we live. In John chapter 15, verse 9, Christ said something very similar. He said, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." Jesus said the same thing. He says, "I love you because the Father has loved me. Now you stay close. You keep yourself super close to me and my protection and my love because there's security here. There's safety here. There's protection here." That's what Jude is saying. He's saying, you keep yourself close. You keep yourselves near and in and surrounded by the love of God. Because there's safety there. There's protection there. Last month, as our family was in Maine, we hiked a very fun hike. It's called the Precipice. It's in Acadia National Park. And it's one of those hikes that is basically straight up a cliff. In fact, they call it a non-technical climb because you can hike it without using ropes and gear and all kinds of other things. It's basically straight up the face of a cliff. And there's ladders and there are rungs and there are little narrow ledges that you kind of need to creep along. And there's a cliff on one side and a wall on the other. It's a great hike. It's a dangerous hike. In fact, there are signs all over as you're hiking, stay on the trail. This is dangerous. Hike at your own risk. The day before we hiked, a man fell to his death, actually, on this hike. Very dangerous. And yet, it's a wonderful hike. And when you get up to the top, you can see amazing views of the places around you. And so I took my boys on this hike. And I said, boys, this is not one of those hikes that you can just go off and scamper on ahead and just do your own thing and run ahead and find us in a little while. You've got to stay close. You have got to stay near me. You've got to stay really close to me because this is a dangerous hike. You've got to stay close where I can watch you, where I can protect you, where I can keep an eye on you. That's what Jude is saying. He's saying you have got to keep yourself close. You've got to keep yourself close to the love of God where there's safety and there's protection and you can be under the blessing and the mercy and the grace of a loving God who will keep you safe in times of apostasy. Are you doing that? If I asked you this morning, are you close to God? Are you close to His love? Are you close to His protecting influence and His safe presence? Are you there? If not, your greatest need is to get yourself back to a place where you're in the safe, protecting arms and presence of the Lord. Because once you get yourself out there, once you're away from that, you are in danger. You are at risk for suffering the effects of apostates. You've got to stay close. You've got to walk with the Lord. You've got to abide in Him. You've got to find your satisfaction in Him and stay close to this love which the Lord has poured out upon us. You say, how do I do that? How in the world am I supposed to do that? Well, Jude's going to tell us, and he's going to give us very specifically three instructions and three practical tools for how you can keep yourself in the love of God. Look at verse 20. He says, first, by building yourselves up on your most holy faith. This is the first way, method of making sure that you keep yourself in God's love. You're going to build up your faith. You're going to grow up. You're going to mature. You're going to develop spiritually. You're going to grow. You're not going to just be stagnant. You're not going to just stay in neutral. You're not going to just coast spiritually. You're going to be the person who is continually maturing and growing and loving Christ and developing so that you are building yourself up in your faith. And the faith he's talking about here is not just your subjective faith. It's not just the faith that you need to believe in Christ. This is objective faith. This is the truth. This is the Word of God. He says you've got to be growing up in your understanding of truth. God's Word. I want you to notice that in verse 3 of Jude, he began his book this way. He says, I want you to contend for the faith. That's the truth of God's Word. That's the objective truth of God's revealed word. And now here in verse 20, he's saying the same thing. I want you to build yourselves up on your most holy faith. That's truth. That's doctrine. That's the wonderful reality of God's word. You've got to build yourself up on that and grow on that and develop in that and mature in that. He's talking here about spiritual growth. Are you growing? Are you maturing? Are you more like Christ today because of His Word than you were yesterday and last week and last month and last year? See, what Jude is doing is he's driving us back to the truth. He's driving us back to the Word. He's driving us back to the objective, authoritative, sufficient, reliable Word of God, which is going to be our anchor in apostate times. Just the basics. He says if you're going to survive in a time of apostasy, you've got to go back to just the basics, just what you know to be true. Build yourself up in the faith. Not only that, look at the second one. It's in verse 20. Praying in the Holy Spirit. This is the second way that you remain in and keep yourself in God's love is you pray in the Spirit, which means you bend the knee and you pray God's will be done in your life. You're praying that God's accomplishing His work in your life according to His will, according to His design. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. You're praying that your will lines up with God's will. You're praying that your heart is sensitive to Christ and sensitive to His Word and you're dependent upon Him. You're praying in the Spirit. Is that you? Are you praying? It's just the basics. See what he's doing? He's taking us just back to the basic truths that we need to have. We need to be those who are men and women of the word, and we need to be men and women of prayer. And verse 21, look what he says. He says, also, you need to be waiting anxiously for the return of Christ, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. He says, not only do you need to build yourself up in the faith and pray in the Holy Spirit, you've got to be anticipating Christ's return. You've got to be looking forward to the time when Christ comes back. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. What's that? That's the completion of our salvation. That's when his mercy is poured out fully and we're brought to final completion in our relationship with him, and where our salvation is complete, our eternity is secure, and our presence is with Christ forever. That's happening. That's going to take place someday. And he says, you've got to look forward to it. You've got to anticipate it. You've got to look ahead to the day when Christ comes back. I love what he's doing here. He's saying you've just got to go back to the basics. You go back to building yourself up in the faith. You go back to praying what you know to be true and asking God's will in your life. You go back to looking ahead to the return of Christ and his completion of your salvation. See what he's doing? He's just taking us back to the most basic, fundamental parts and components of the Christian life. It's not rocket science. We don't have to be those who have to come up with this great and wonderful and majestic plan for how we're going to keep ourselves in the faith and how we're going to resist temptation, how we're going to stand in the times of apostasy. No, we just got to be those who go back to the basics. Time in the Word, time in prayer, and looking ahead to the return of Christ. Is that where you're at right now? I remember my discipler a number of years ago. He said, Todd, the Christian life, it's hard sometimes, but it's not that complicated, right? And he kept telling me that over and over and over. He kept drilling that truth into my mind and my heart. Todd, the Christian life, yeah, it's hard and there's difficulties and there's hardships associated with it, but it's not that complicated. You go back to the Word. You go back to prayer. And you go back to looking forward to the return of Christ. This is how you keep yourself in God's love. This is how you survive in an age of apostasy. This is how you stand firm. Well, there's one more. You got to recall God's word. You've got to remain in God's love. You've also got to, number three, be those who respond with God's mercy. You've got to be those who respond with God's mercy. And it's in verse 22 and 23. He says, have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Here's what he's getting at here. He says, if you're going to survive in this age, you've got to understand that those people around you that have abandoned the faith and walked away from the truth, yeah, they're in trouble and they're under condemnation, but they're also the mission field. And they're also those who need Christ. And they're those who need to be lovingly brought back to a relationship with him and be confronted with the truth of God's word. That's what he's getting at here. You've got to respond with God's mercy to those people. Look what kind of people he's talking about here. In fact, there's three different groups of people that he talks about in verses 22 and 23. They are first the doubters. Verse 22. Have mercy on some who are doubting. These are the people who have been exposed to apostate teaching and false teaching, and they're confused. They don't know what to believe. They've been taught one thing, which they thought was true, and then the apostates came along and they taught something else. They're the victims of this false teaching, and they don't know what to believe. They're doubting, they're confused, they're struggling to understand and know what's right and true. And Jude says, you've got to be merciful to them. You've got to be gracious. You've got to be patient and compassionate and kind and tender with them, and you've got to reach out to them to draw them to the truth. That's what he's saying. Those who are doubting, Those who are confused, you got to have mercy on them. You know someone that in your life, in that category? Someone who's been confused by false teaching, someone who's been confused by the truth of God's word because they've been bought into maybe some false teaching. Jesus says, you got to be merciful. You got to be compassionate. You got to go to them and reach out to them with the truth of God's word. There's a second group of people here. It's the deceived people. Verse 23, look what he says. He says, save others, snatching them out of the fire. He's saying there are others, not just the doubters. These are the deceived. These are the ones who have fallen prey to these false teachers. And they are believing the false teachers. And they are those who have bought into it. And they're closer to the fires of hell than ever before because they have adopted the false teaching of these apostates. And they are in great danger. And so Jude says, with these people, you've got to snatch them out of the fire. They are on the doorstep of hell. They are about ready to face the consequences of their choice of believing in false teaching. And Jude says, you've got to lovingly, but seriously and aggressively snatch them back. The idea is grabbing them, pulling them, forcibly drawing them back to yourself to pull them away from the danger that they're at. He says, you don't pull any punches with these people. You've got to go to them. You've got to be aggressive in love and mercy, but passionately drawing them back to the truth. You know anyone in your life in that category? Someone who has bought the lies of false teaching, adopted into their lifestyle, someone who's in a cult. Jude says, with those people, you've got to be aggressive. You've got to grab them and pull them back to what you know to be true. So there's the doubters. There's the deceived. There's also, thirdly, the dangerous. Verse 23, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. This category of people are the most dangerous. These are the apostates themselves. These are the false teachers themselves. And Jude says, if you have an opportunity, if you have the opportunity to interact with them, to engage them, to talk to them, he says, you should do that. You should confront them. You should teach them the truth. You should show them the way more clearly, but you better be careful. Because these people are dangerous. They are the promoters of false doctrine. And he says, you have mercy on them, but with fear. You need to be afraid. You need to be somewhat fearful because they're dangerous. He says, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. What's that? Just as you would never handle someone's dirty underwear, because you don't want to be dirty physically, you got to be careful about handling those who are false teachers because they can defile you spiritually. So you go after them. You lovingly win them back to Christ. You seek with all your heart, with great prayer and intentionality to win them back, to show them the truth. But you've got to be careful and you've got to be cautious because they possess great danger. You know anyone in your life in that category? These are the doubters, the deceived, and the dangerous. And what Jude is saying here is, listen, you've got to approach this evangelistically. You've got to be evangelistic about this. We can easily, as a group of believers, we can kind of huddle up and kind of protect ourselves and get in our little bubble and not interact with these people. But he says, no, you've got to approach them evangelistically. Have mercy. Be compassionate. At times, be aggressive. At times, be very careful. But go out. Speak the truth. Win them to Christ. I pray for us as a church that we'll be these kind of people. That as God gives us opportunity to interact with people around us in our communities, in our church, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, that we'll be these kind of people who when we interact with someone who's maybe confused, we would lovingly show them the truth. Someone who's caught in a cult, we would be merciful to them, but we would be intentional and aggressive if necessary. And we would be bold when it comes to those who are abandoning the truth. Friends, this is how you survive in an age of apostasy. This is the techniques, this is the tools that you need to have. You need to be the one who recalls God's word and remember, hey, this is predicted, this is going to happen, God said this would happen. And you need to remain in God's love, you need to keep yourself close to Christ, praying, being in the word, looking ahead to the return of Christ, and you need to respond with God's mercy. Lovingly, graciously, speaking truth to those who have abandoned it. Friends, this is relevant. This is super relevant to us. Whether we know it or not or want to admit it enough, this is really the day and the age in which we live in today. And so we need to be faithful followers of Christ who will stand for His truth. And we need to keep ourselves close to Christ. And as summer ends and as fall starts, this is a challenge to us to make sure that we've not drifted too far from Christ. And if you have, friends, you need to come back to Christ. You need to draw back again into the closeness of Christ and enjoy the protection and the safety that's there. And then we need to be evangelistic, winning others to Christ. It's a great way for us to head into the fall, to be these kind of people who are faithful to Christ, faithful to His word, and faithful to the gospel. Lord, we thank You for Your truth. And we thank You and praise You, Lord, that Your word is able to instruct us in these ways. And Lord, we confess that these are things we oftentimes don't think about. We oftentimes don't consider, Lord, but we need to hear these truths. Because we find ourselves in this environment, and we need to hear from Your word. So Lord, let us be those who stay close to You. Let us be those who are faithful to follow hard after You. Let us be those, Father, who do not compromise the truth, but stand firm on it, praying, looking ahead to the return of Your Son. Lord, give us gospel opportunities. Give us opportunities to proclaim Christ. And Lord, we pray as a church family that we can be those who see some saved to the glory of Your name. It's in Your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.